This morning I invite you to take your Bibles and open them with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, in light of Dossie's baptism this morning, we're focusing on living a baptized life, what our own baptism means for us each and every day. So we'll be looking at the first 14 verses of Romans chapter 6. Before we turn our attention to God's word, let's ask him for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now turn our attention to your word, please give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. Let's pay careful attention because this is God speaking his word to us. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, do you ever think about your baptism? Not just that moment long ago, but what your baptism means for your life today. For some of you, baptism is a memory that you have. You remember the service, the date, the water, maybe even what you were wearing. You remember standing before the congregation and professing your faith. But for many of us, baptism is something that we don't remember at all. Most of us were infants. We don't remember the promises that were made or the water on our heads. Little Dossie here certainly has no idea what's happening today unless he is told what took place today or listens to the recording in the future. He's not going to remember it. And so the question is, what does baptism mean for us? What does it mean for us now? Does it have any real impact on the way that we live day to day? Now think about this question in another way, or to come at it from another angle. Do you remember being born? Do you remember that first breath? The womb that you were in? The moment you entered the world? And the answer is, of course not. We don't remember that. And yet the fact that you are still here, that you are sitting here living and breathing and present this morning, it's proof that that happened, that you at some point were born and your birth continues to shape your entire life, even though you don't remember the event itself. Well, in the same way, many of us don't remember the water of our baptism or the words that were spoken, but the reality that those promises point to are no less real today than on the day when we were baptized. Baptism marks the beginning of a life that continues to unfold in Christ. Sinclair Ferguson once summarized the Christian life in this way, and I stole part of this quote for the sermon title this morning. He said, "I am a baptized man living a baptized life." Baptism is not just something that took place in the past. It's a sign and it's a seal that keeps directing our eyes to Christ, reminding us of what He has done for us and what He's still doing for us. But what does it actually mean for us to live a baptized life? That's the question that the Apostle Paul is answering in Romans 6. He's not just asking whether we've been baptized or not, or whether we understand what baptism means, not just the outward act, but rather he's drawing and explaining the deep spiritual reality that baptism points to, what it means for us as we live our lives. In Romans 6, Paul emphasizes this, that when we are baptized in Christ, everything changes. Because we're united to Him. His death becomes our death. Look at verse 4. "We are buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." We've been united with Him in His death, and we'll certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. Now as Paul is explaining what our baptisms mean, he's pointing out that Christ's death becomes our death. He's pointing out how Christ's burial is our burial, but it doesn't end there, because Christ's resurrection is our resurrection, our new life. And that's the gospel reality, or the gospel truth, that shapes us every single day. And so first, we have died to sin. Baptism points to that death, to the old self, that death. So we're baptized into Christ's death, verse 3 tells us. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? Now, if we're honest, talking about death in light of baptism might seem a little bit strange. At least at first. When we hear baptism, we don't usually think about death. We think of babies up front and what they're wearing and the water that's being sprinkled, and maybe families that are getting together later for a meal afterwards. But death and burial, those things don't typically come to mind when we think about baptism. But Paul isn't talking about the ceremony in and of itself, or the service and the water in that moment. He's talking about what baptism points to. Baptism is a sign, and that sign is pointing us somewhere. And that's what Paul is explaining. That baptism points beyond itself, and it points ultimately to our union with Christ. Paul says that we have been baptized into Christ, and in verse 5 he describes that connection with a powerful word, that we are united. It's a word that means grown together or joined together or even grafted together. You can think of a branch of a tree, or a branch that's grafted onto another tree. Once that branch is grafted, the life doesn't come from that branch, but rather it comes from the tree itself. It flows from the tree, and that's the picture of our relationship with Christ. We've been grafted into Christ. We're united with Him. He is where our life comes from. Jesus says, "I am the vine and you are the branches." Our spiritual life flows from Christ. And baptism points to that reality. Now it's important to be clear about something. Baptism itself doesn't save you. Baptism doesn't regenerate you. Salvation is found in Christ and in Christ alone. We can't assume that simply because we were born into a Christian family and we're baptized that automatically we're saved. We can't turn the promises that we heard this morning into a false assurance of salvation. Those promises are real. They are gracious. They were truly given and they are received by faith. That's how we make those promises our own. We respond to these promises with faith by believing in Jesus Christ. And that's why profession of faith matters. It's claiming the promises given at our baptism as our own. Trusting in Jesus Christ, not just as a Savior, but as our Savior. Now without faith, the water of baptism isn't a water of life, but rather a water of judgment. What do I mean? Well, you can think about the Red Sea, for example. The same water the Israelites went through and the Egyptians went in, but they didn't make it out. And the difference between those two groups is faith. So baptism doesn't save you. Christ saves you, and he does so through faith. And that's what baptism is pointing to. That saving reality that is ours through Christ alone. It's a sign and a seal that you have been united with Christ, that his blood has washed away your sins. It's a huge neon sign pointing to Christ. You don't stop at the sign, you go to Christ. It reminds me of a road sign that's just south of here. When I was driving back from Sioux City, you always see that sign that says Lamar's is 7 miles and the Sioux Center is 26 miles. Now that sign that says, hey, you know, Sioux Center is 26 miles ahead, that sign isn't Sioux Center. That's a sign pointing to Sioux Center. Indicating where Sioux Center is. You haven't arrived just because you've seen the sign that says Sioux Center, okay kids, let's unload, we're here. The sign points you to the real destination. And that's what baptism does. It's pointing you beyond itself to Christ and the reality that's received by faith. Now here's the heart of what Paul is saying. Because we are united to Christ, Christ's death is our death. In that way, Christians are people who have died to that old way of life. The Catechism in question and answer 70 puts it in this way. To be washed with Christ's Spirit means that the Holy Spirit has renewed me and set me apart to be a member of Christ, so that more and more I become dead to sin and increasingly live a holy and blameless life. Now, baptism doesn't make that happen, but it assures you that it has happened. It reminds you that Christ's one sacrifice on the cross was for you personally. Just as surely as you were born and took that first breath, just as surely as you are here this morning, so surely does your baptism point to what God is doing in you through Christ. So when you think about your baptism, don't just think about the past. Think about what it means for you today. Right now, because what happened to Christ has happened to you. His death is your death. But it doesn't end there, because as we move on, his burial is your burial as well. And that's our second point. Our old life is gone. We have been buried with Christ. We not only have died with Christ, we are buried with Christ by baptism into death. Look at verse 4. Now at first, death and burial might sound like the same thing. I mean, they're closely connected. Someone might ask, if we've already talked about dying with Christ, what does it add by saying that we've been buried with Christ as well? But in verse 4, that's what Paul says. We're therefore buried with him through baptism into death. And what he's emphasizing is not just the repetition. He's not just saying the same thing twice, but he's pointing to the finality of our death to that old life of sin. Burial makes it clear that death has taken place. That something, that old life is now truly over. And there's two important things that Paul is pointing out here when it comes to us being united with Christ and describing that union in terms of burial. First, burial marks the end or the once for all end of that old life. And so in that way, this burial is looking back to that old life of sin and saying, that life is finished. It is done. You have died in Christ and you have been buried in Christ. When a person is buried, there's no going back. You think of, why do we say that Christ was buried? Well, his burial testifies that he really did die. Well, in the same way, our baptism doesn't just point to death, the death of our old sinful self. It points to the funeral. That old way of life has been put into the grave. You not only have died to sin, you've been buried to sin. And to return to your old life of sin after being united with Christ is as impossible as someone climbing out of a grave to resume their former life. That's what Paul is saying. He's reminding us that Christ's death to sin is our death to sin. We were buried with him, and our old self was crucified with Christ. We're no longer slaves to sin. We've died to sin and therefore we're free from its rule. Now that raises an important question as we sit here and listen this morning. If I've died to sin and I've been buried with Christ, why do I still struggle with sin? Why is sin still an issue for me? And that's the question every Christian can ask. Dying to sin does not mean that sin now disappears from our life. We will always struggle and fight against sin until the day we actually die and go home to be with the Lord. The difference is that sin no longer is our master. Sin no longer owns us. There's a difference between sin being present in our life and sin reigning over us. Living in light of our baptism means that we will struggle against sin instead of giving in to sin or surrendering to sin. In Christ, the body that was once addicted to sin is no longer enslaved to it. We're no longer stoking that fire of sin. The sparks are still there. Temptation still comes, but the kindling has been removed. We're not feeding that fire. Yes, we still struggle. But we're no longer in Adam, we're in Christ. And when temptation comes, Paul would have us remember our baptism. Remember who you are united to. Remember that sin no longer owns you, that you are dead to it and you've been buried to it. And that way Christians are those who have died, and baptism emphasizes that death. And that death, that burial mark to sin, marks the beginning of the Christian life. Paul's point is clear. Because we've died to sin, because we've been buried to it, we no longer live in it anymore. And baptism gives us a powerful picture of that death and that burial. In baptism, we see the dying of the old self, being buried under the water and then rising to new life. Through Scripture, God's people pass through the waters of judgment and they come out the other side alive. You can think of Noah and his family. They passed through the flood, but the rest of the world didn't. They were delivered through those dangerous waters of judgment. I mentioned the Red Sea as well. God's people made it through. The Egyptians didn't. Think of Jesus, baptized by John, going to the cross, buried in the tomb, and rising again in glory. You don't stay under the water, you come up. Burial isn't the end. And that's actually the second main point that Paul is making when it comes to burial. Yes, on the one hand, burial points to the finality of our death to the old man of sin. But it also points to and sets the stage for resurrection. Because what happens after you're buried? What is the next thing that takes place after you've been buried? Resurrection. After Jesus was buried, what happened next? rose again from the grave. He rose again from the dead. And because we are united to him, burial isn't the final word. It's always a powerful moment when we have a graveside service and I'm standing there with the family. There's a casket sitting right in front of us. And we say the Apostles' Creed together. We state what we believe. And in that cemetery, we say, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. And we can boldly declare that while we're standing by a grave. And we can boldly declare that what comes next is life because of Christ. And that's the neon sign that baptism is pointing to. In Christ, death and burial are not the end because Christ was raised. That means we are raised. We have new life. And that's what baptism is explaining. Third and finally, we walk in newness of life. This is us being baptized into Christ's resurrection. Paul brings everything together in verse 4. If you have your Bibles open, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Now notice the purpose here. We have been buried with Christ in order that we might walk in newness of life. So baptism doesn't stop at death and burial. It always moves towards this resurrection, this newness of life. Our baptism points not only to our union with Christ in his death and his burial, but also how we are united with him when it comes to his resurrection. His resurrection is our resurrection. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so too we have been raised with him to new life. And this isn't just something that's going to take place in the future. It's something that's already true right now. If you are united to Christ by faith, you've already risen with him. You have new life. Living a baptized life means living every day in response to what God has done and is still doing in you. So then what does baptism actually do? It continually reminds you and assures you that Christ's one sacrifice on the cross was for you personally. We see this water and reminded that our sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. When you place your faith in Christ, you are united to him, and the Holy Spirit keeps on making your baptism meaningful throughout your entire life. And so it's not just a one-time event, but rather this is a sign of a lifelong cleansing. Some of you, one of you, Dossie, was baptized a few moments ago. Others, it's been a few years. Some were baptized a few decades ago. Half a century ago? Does something that happened that long ago still have significance today? Does it still matter today? And the answer is yes, it absolutely does. Your baptism is not only a memory, it's a promise that remains true. As surely as the water washes away dirt from the body, so certainly his blood and his spirit wash away my soul's impurity. That promise doesn't expire. It's still true today. And that's why Paul shifts gears in Romans 6. Up to this point, he's been telling us what God has done. And now he's telling us how to live in light of what God has done. He gives us three simple but powerful calls. First, consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Believe what God says is true about you. Second, present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Live like someone who's been raised. And then third, offer the parts of your body to God as instruments of righteousness. Sin's no longer your master. has no control over you. You are not under law, you are under grace. You are united to Christ. So be who you are in Christ. Most of us don't remember the details of our baptism. The water, the words, the moment. But that doesn't make the promises any less real. We don't remember being born or taking our first breath, but here we are, alive. The significance of our baptism is this, that through faith Christ's death is now our death. His burial is our burial, and His resurrection is our new life. And that changes how we live each and every day as we strive by faith in Jesus Christ to live a baptized life. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Christ. We thank You for His life, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. We thank You for the faith that You have given to us to respond to those promises of our baptism, to hold on to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and know that we've not only died with Him, we've not only been buried with Him, but we have been raised with Him. Lord, help us to live baptized lives, to live out the gospel each and every day for Your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.